Okay, but first let's just learn a little bit about the I want to finish up Birchas HaTorah. And Birchas HaTorah, we really finished Birchas HaTorah. What I really want to discuss, just for a little bit, is what we say after Birchas HaTorah. After we conclude Birchas HaTorah, we say three different sections. We say a Mishnah, the Mishnah of Elu Dvarim She'en Lachem Shi'ur. And then we say the Braisa of Elu Dvarim. Let me turn to the right page. Okay, we start with Birchas HaTorah, and the first thing, this is Nusach Sefarad. Okay, Nusach Sefarad, we start, of course, with Birchas HaTorah. We start with Birchas Kehanim. Okay, I never even knew this, that Nusach Sefarad, they start with the Pasuk before. Vayidaber Hashem v'yishalim v'adaber v'alaron v'oban v'levar k'yis v'aruch v'esmenei Yisrael amor lohem. And then we go into Yivarechacha, Yo'er, Yisa. And then we start the Mishnah, Masech Tepeya. And then we have a Braisa. The Braisa comes from Masech the Shabbos. And the Masech the Shabbos is a Braisa. Braisa really was written approximately at the same time as the Mishnayis. But it's Borah. Braisa, Loshen Borah, it's on the outside. It was not accepted by Rabbeinu HaKadosh for whatever reason. But the Gemara incorporates it. So we have Tzachaka, we have Mishnah, we have Chumash, Mishnah, and Gemara. And we discussed actually last week that these three different things correspond to the three blessings. Okay, we're not going to go over that again. And backwards. It's backwards. The first bracha, Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvah v'tzvanu la'asoik b'divrei soira, that's the last blessing. That is Elu Devarim. It's like a gzer shavah, Devarim, Devarim. And the second blessing of the Harevna, it should be sweet. Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvah b'finu. We didn't explain this last time, but I think the pshat is that Mishnayos were memorized. Mishnayos represents the Ikur of Torah Shebal Peh, and that's why it's Bifinu. And in fact, the Gemara says we have many times Chisurei Mechsura. There are words that are missing in the Mishnayos, and the most popular explanation as to why Rabbeinu HaKadosh would skip a couple of words is because there was a melody. There was a melody that was used to sing the Mishnayis as an aid to memorize the Mishnah, and if you would pad it with too many words, it would shter, it would interfere with the melody, it would make it difficult to sing, and the singing was viewed to be critical to the Mishnayis in order that it would be memorized by the Talmidim. So it's Mamish Torah Shebal Peh, and that's why it says V'harev no Hashem Elokim Estevrei Tzoroscha Befinu Uvifio is Amicha Beis Yisrael. Okay, and we didn't explain it last time. That's a new Yisoid. Is that the reason why the second blessing must be referring to the Mishnayos? Because the Mishnayos were always traditionally memorized. The Gemara was not memorized. Because the Gemara already was written at the time after Eis Lasis LaHashem. When they composed the Gemara, that was already during the Zman, when you got to write it down. That's why they had the Gemara. But when the Mishnayos were compiled, when the Mishnah were compiled and when the Mishnahs were formulated, it was Baal Peh. That's why it's Befinu. And then the last bracha is Asher Bochar Banu. Asher Bochar Banu Mikol Ha'amim V'nos Lanu Es Torah. So we a pasuk, Hashem gave us the Torah, Matan Torah, Torah Shebichsav. We make this bracha, we get an Aliyah. When we get an Aliyah to Torah Shebichsav, so it's pretty clear, it's pretty really stark contrast is that the last blessing corresponds to Elu Devarim. The last blessing corresponds to the Pasuk in the Torah. We're Messiah. We make Asher Bochar Banu, and we immediately say a Pasuk, Yivarechacha. And then the next thing is the Mishnah. It goes back to the second, the middle bracha. And the last thing, Elu Devarim, goes back to the first bracha. Okay, that's one shot. And there's another mahalach, another pshat, another idea. Mainly focusing on why from all of the Chamish Shechum Shei Torah do we select Yivarechicha? What, there's a shortage of psukim? Why do we select the Birchas Koyhanim? From all the psukim that you can say, you can recite. And the reason why the question is a very good question is because the average person is not a Koyhan. Whenever you see a non-Koyhan recite the Pasuk Yivarechicha, it's always a red flag. What are you saying the Pasuk Yivarechacha? It's always a problem. So, for example, it's the minhag by a wedding, a chasana, by Sephardim, and not lav dafka Sephardim, under the chuppah, the rabbi who is not a kohen. It's not a good idea for a rabbi to be a kohen. Why not? Because what does a rabbi do mainly? Funerals. And if you're a kohen, so the rabbis can't do half his job, he can't be involved in funerals. So they don't like shuls, do not want rabbanim who are kohanim. It's a very big problem. Oh, you're not the son of a rabbi. A rabbi, the only ones that are kohanim, if you look around, are more like the independent rabbanim, independently wealthy rabbanim who make their own shuls. So they make their own, so they're the boss. No one tells them what to do. So yeah, I'm a kohen, too bad for you. But a person who is hired by a kehila, what do they want? I want you to come visit me in the hospital. Sorry, I can't go to the hospital because there might be a dead body in the morgue. I can't go to the funeral. I mean, that's when you really need a rabbi. So if you're being hired, so the point of view is that whenever you're a non-kohen, and a non-kohen is saying, Yivarechacha, you're looking for trouble, because how dare you say Yivarechacha? So what is the solution? There are many good answers. One answer is the only time it is usher to say Yivarechacha is only in the middle of davening, in the middle of Shmona Esrei. That's where only a kohen says it. That's the avoida, in the middle of the Shmona Esrei, in the Chazaras Hashatz. But for a person to stand up and say Yivarecha Hashem Yishmerecha outside the framework of tefillah, no harm done. Another very popular answer is that at night, go to a wedding, and the wedding is at night. Nighttime is not a zman avoida. So there's no problem for a person to say Birkas Kohanim. By the way, it's Birkas, not Birchas. For some reason, we always say Birchas. I'm a very big expert. He edited. I was writing things, and he told me very close, a very big mumcha. He told me it's not Birchas, it's Birkas. Birkas Kohanim. The Olam's whatever. You know, the Olam says whatever they want to say, but he explained to me why it has to be that way. Any event, the only time this
is... But you can also pick, just go feel like Shema Yisrael.
Okay, right, exactly.
Which is more chashuv. But the exactly. Only problem I'm just thinking is that you're going to have a problem with the Shema Yisrael later on during davening by...
Very good, because you already were Yotze, and you said the Shema Yisrael outside the framework of the Birchas Kriya Shema. Excellent, right. So that's why it's not a good idea to say Shema Yisrael. Even saying Shema Yisrael at the end of Suki the Zimra, some say that in Kriyas Yamsuf, right? Some say there, and also you say Shema Yisrael in the Karbonis.
Right.
It's a very big problem, and some say you have to have Kavona, Bedafka, not to be Yoitse Kriyas Shema. Because you're supposed to ideally say Shema Yisrael within the Birchois Kriyas Shema, which is after Baruch. That's the whole Daf Yomi, the whole many Dafim on this. That's it. But right now, I just want to point out is that it's not a pashtut thing for a non-kohen to say Birchas Kohanim. We have many answers that saying it at night is not a problem because nighttime is not a zman of avodah. Another answer says that if you're not saying within the Shemoneh Esrei, so that's why Kohanim, some parents, fathers, every Friday night, they say to their children Birchas Kohanim. A third answer is only also to say it if you raise your hands. Okay, three answers. A non-kohen to say Birkas Kohanim, it's only also if you raise your hands. If you're not raising your hands, it's okay. Another answer is nighttime is not a problem because it's not the Zman Avoida. And the third answer is it has to be within Shemoneh Esrei. But still, you know, you're not looking for trouble. We're never not looking for trouble in Klal. So why would Chazal select this pasuk to say right after you finish Kriyas Shema? So there are many beautiful answers. I think probably the most popular answer is there are 60 letters in Birkas Kohanim. 60 letters exactly, and that corresponds to the 60 Mesechtos. Chazal say that Shishim Giborim Savavla Megibore Yisrael, the person is surrounded by 60 Giborim. What are they? The 60 Mesechtos of Shas. Now, if you make a calculation in Shas, you'll see there are really 63 Mesechtos. There are many answers. Bava Kama, Bava Mitzi, Bava Basra is really one Mesechta. It's called Mesechta Nizokin. So we reduce it from 63 to 61. And then Ovois, is Avos a chelik of Shas? Is that a chelik of the 60 Masechtas, Masechta Avos? Or is Avos more of a like an outside Masechta? There are other also, but there are other end. Some say there are other also Masechta Makos. Whoever said the Masechta Makos is an independent Masechta. Masechta Makos really is a chelik of Masechta Sanhedrin. Okay. And then, now that's not, then, now, the problem is that there are other mahalachim, let's say Masechta Pesachim. Many hold that Masechta Pesachim really is two Masechtas. There's Pesach Rishon, Pesach Sheni. It's really two Masechtas, Masechta Pesachim. So, you know, you have to play with the numbers. You got to play with it. But basically, we have a Masoira. The Masoira is that there are 60 Masechtas. Shas. Shishim Masechtas. Went to the Sim HaShas. So Shmuel Kamenetsky, when he made the Sim, he didn't say, Hadron Aloch Shas. He didn't do that. He said, Hadron Aloch Talmud Bavli. The Daf Yomi is not Shas. The Daf Yomi is the Seder of Talmud Bavli. The only 36 Mesechtos on which there is Talmud Bavli. Daf Yomi was not created by Rabbi Meir Shapiro to learn Mishnayos. Only the 36 Mesechtos of Talmud Bavli. So he was very accurate in when he said at the Sim HaShas, Hadron Aloch Talmud Bavli, and did not say Shas. I remember the previous Yumim, I pay attention to this, is that they said Hadron Aloch Shas. Go to the videotape. You'll see they said Shas. Dirshu, I didn't pay attention to Dirshu. I watched other things. My eyes were focused on the beautiful band. And Mati, or whatever his name is, whatever, all the singers, all the good singers, and the food, and the flowers, and other things that only Mayor knows what I'm referring to. In any event, So this is Talmud, so that we have 60 Mesechtas, so therefore, since we make Birchas HaTorah, we right away want to allude to the 60 Mesechtas. Another answer, now this is, what is the purpose of Torah? Okay, Chazal say anyone who takes the Torah and uses it as a tool to abuse people, I don't know the words of Chazal on my tongue, but there are many people today, unfortunately, that use the Torah as a tool of power, a tool for money, a tool to abuse people. It's what?
Control.
There's a lot of... What, you know, you live in a society, a Torah-dika society, and you have access to Torah, either because of family, or because of wealth, or because of whatever. There are many situations in the society can be happen. It happens, if you look around, it happens more often than not, that that people take the Torah and they abuse it. They use it as nothing more than a tool to get what they want in life. It's a very, very big Yetzer Hara and a very grave danger. Therefore, the first thing you say when you read Birkas HaTorah is, the purpose of Torah is to give, not to take. The entire essence of Birkas Koichanim is to give blessing. Okay, they give. Koichanim are meant to be givers. They put out their hands and they pray to Hashem that Hashem should bless Klal Yisrael. Hashem should lift up his face to Klal Yisrael. Hashem should shine upon Klal Yisrael. The whole essence of Birkas Koihanim is to give, not to take, not to abuse, not to be selfish. And a person needs that reminder every single day. Every single day when you say the bracha, the first thing you say is, a parents would never let a little child cross the street by himself. It's dangerous, right? You can't let a little child cross the street. Who knows what will happen? So we enter into no man's land, because if we're not a kohen, you really should not be saying this pasuk the way we say it. What are you saying the pasuk for? Part of davening. You're not a kohen.
Wasn't the original pasuk really a kohen's pasuk, and then he handed it to the others? And then he handed it to the Bukharim, and then he handed it over to the Kahanim.
Okay, so you're touching upon a lot of different issues that we can go into now. First of all, we had a whole discussion about this, is what would have happened if Hashem would not have taken away the first birthright, the avoid from the Bukharis? who would say Birkas Kohanim? It's a whole shmuz. It could very well be that Birkas Kohanim was always meant only for the Kohanim. The Avoida, Klar, was meant for the firstborns. Does that mean the firstborns were meant from day one to be the ones who would recite Birkas Kohanim? Not so Pashat.
It wouldn't be called Birkas Kohanim.
Right, exactly.
That proves it. Well, maybe the Torah would be.
That proves it. That's the big question. It's a whole shiloh. It's a whole discussion. Is if the firstborns if Klal Yisrael would not have worshipped the eagle, and the Avodah would not have been taken away from the Bechor, who would be the one reciting every single day what we call Birkas Kohanim? So the average person will tell you, the Bechor. The Bechor is basically a Kohen. And the Kohanim are nobodies. The Sheva Levi, if you're Bechor, so you do the Avodah. If you're Bechor from any Sheva, do the Avodah. Just because you're Sheva Levi, who cares? Just because you're from the family of Aaron?
You would be the Levi.
Yeah, well, you're right. There's nothing special about the Kohanim. But then, when the Avodah was taken away from the firstborns, Mila Hashem Elai, and the Kohuna was given to Sheva Levi, to the Kohanim, that family, so now they got the full package. Not necessarily. There are many indications. I don't remember all the sources that prepare for this now, but it was always meant from day one they would have... What? Good question. I don't know. L'chor, the ma'an hizkun is chelef avoidas. The pasuk says in the Torah, the ma'an hizkun is chelef in exchange avoidaschem for your service. And the service appears to be the Beis HaMikdash, not for saying the brachas. L'chor goes to the kohen, only to the one who's the avoida. It appears that it's all of those things are included in what it says chelef in exchange avoidaschem. Okay, but let's not get bogged down here. So you're entering into no man's land by saying Birkas Kohanim. Yisrael is saying it so prominently every single day. It's kedai to take the risk. Life is all about taking calculated risks. Okay, that's always the way it goes in life. Calculated risks. You come over here, right? You're not afraid of the virus. You come out of your house. You're not locking yourself up. Okay, everything in life is about taking. What?
You've been a place to bring the virus.
Calculated risks. Why would you enter into this domain? The answer is because you got to be reminded. Torah is about giving. The purpose of Torah is to be like a kohen yivarecha, to bless people. You make believe you're a kohen. I want to bless you. You want to bless Klal Yisrael. That's what Torah is. Torah's chesed. Person always has to ask himself every single time he's doing something. In Torah, in the Ilam HaTorah, what am I doing this for? Am I doing this because I want to use the Torah to take? Or I want to use the Torah to give? I want to be a better person so I can be a giver, a provider. Or no, the reason why I'm going to learn Torah is because it will enable me to get what I want. It will enable me to make money, to abuse people, to push people around. It's a very big reality. You don't even realize how ourselves are fooled in things that we do. Of course, you know, you do it mitoch shaloi lishma, bo lishma. Okay, that's a very important principle, but you have to be very careful. Okay, that's one mahalach. Another mahalach is very simple, is that the Atem Pasuk says that Mat, we read over here, the last bracha was Ashabochar banu mikol ha'amim v'nosan lanu es toirosoi. And what did Hashem say? What did Hashem say to Moshe Rabbeinu at the beginning of Matan Torah, in the beginning of Parashas Yisroel, or Mishpatim, remember where it is? V'atem tihiyun li mamleches koyhanim v'goy kadosh. Part of the promotion on the commercials, right? There were commercials promoting receiving the Torah. Hashem was campaigning. Come, I want to vote for me. Give me your vote. I want to be your king. Vote for me. I'm going to give you the Torah. So what? You're going to be a mamleches koyhanim, the goy kodosh, a kingdom of priests. So now that we make the bracha shabochar banu mikol ho'amim v'nosan lanu es Torah asoy, nu, Hashem, we did ours, you do yours. You got to make good on your deal to be a mamleches, a kingdom of Kohanim. The whole Klal Yisrael is Mamleches Kohanim, and the Kohen says, Yivarechecha. So even though technically halacha, we're not mamash saying Yivarechecha, we know that. We're not mamash saying Yivarechecha, but the principle is there, V'atem t'nili Mamleches Kohanim. Okay. Okay, one other word about Birchas Kohanim. This is a word which is discussed in many different ways. I like this word. And that is the Birchas, we make three blessings. And I always broke it down for you into three blessings. And we looked at some of the Sidurim, and most of the Sidurim actually mark it out pretty clearly that it's three separate blessings. There's Lasoik with the Sara, period. And they have a new line, a paragraph break. Okay, new line. And then they make it clear to the eye, okay, the visible presentation, that it is a new blessing. In the article sitter, for whatever reason, they don't do that.
Well, in the article sitter, after that, then you
they
start,
put a dot.
They, Rebna, then it
so they put
above.
A dot. They put a dot.
What is the above?
But they put a dot. Look, they put a dot. Befi Yislamcha Beis Yisrael, there's a dot there also. So the dots don't mean anything.
Yeah, but you don't have the vav. You have a vav.
Yeah, so does a vav. It's not a right. The article, for whatever reason, I have no doubt they did a phenomenal job. They don't need my haskama, obviously, but they presented here as one bracha. And indeed, I'm sure there's a reason for that, because many of the commentators, many of the mefarshim, they learn, yeah, it's one bracha. It's not what we've been darshing for the last 2 weeks, that it's three separate blessings. No, there are only two blessings. There's a long bracha. Asher kiddushonu b'mitzvaseh v'tzivon v'lasek b'divrei sara v'harevna. It's one long bracha. And then there's a second bracha. So sach hakol, there are two blessings. Lo nafkamina, mea brachos. If a person is medakdek every single day to make 100 blessings, you will make sure that when you look over here at these two blessings, this only counts as one blessing, not as three blessings. So it's an afkmina when you make the calculation of the Mea Brachos, how many blessings. Now, why am I now obsessed with making it into two blessings? So because of the following idea, which is said in different forms, there are different people in different ways. We know that when you get an aliyah, you make two blessings. A bracha rishayna and a bracha acharayna. Make a bracha before you lane, and you make a bracha after you lane. In some of the Gemaras, they have when you come into Beis HaKnesses, right? So there's the first page right here, the Zunkel Gorman Shas, there's the Chodeshas. It says over here, Tfilas Beis HaMidrash Bichnisasai Uvi Yitziyasai. There's a blessing you make when you begin to learn, and there's a blessing you make when you leave. And it gives you the blessing for the beginning and then at the end. So we make a bracha, not a bracha, it's a prayer when you come. So, and we get an aliyah. When we get an aliyah, you make a blessing. So the same thing is true. The question is, when you go to sleep at night, why don't you make a Birkas HaTorah for the end of what you've learned the whole day? Wake up in the morning. Learn Daf Yomi, learn some Mishnayos, you learn some.
There's no limit.
Learn some Talmud Yerushalmi, some
Mechilta. Isn't that the same?
But you're going to sleep.
There's no limit.
I'm going to sleep now. I got up early in the morning. I got up 6 o'clock in the morning. I went to my Daf Yomi. I learned Mishnayos. I learned Mechilta. I learned Zohar. I learned Chesha Mishpat. I learned Shev Shmaitza. I learned all the esoteric Kolat Harukula. And now it's 11:49. I'm dead tired. And I lie down on my bed and I close it too early. It's 12:49. I close my eyes and I go, oh, wait, before you close your eyes, would it not be proper to say, Baruch atah Hashem, Elokim Melech Haolam, Asher Nosan Lanu, Toras, Emes, V'chaye, Elom, Atah, V'sochenu? No, you have to make a bracha acharoina on all of the learning you've done the whole day. So what are you going to tell me? No. When you go to sleep, think and learn, right? What do you think about when you sleep? Money?
Some people do.
What do you think about when you go to sleep? you think about what you learned. So you're still learning. I'm not ready yet. So when are you, Mr. So-and-so, going to make that bracha acharoina? The answer is when you wake up in the morning. When you wake up, we make two blessings. One blessing is for the new Torah. and the other blessing is for the old Torah. Now, which one is which? Lo yomush sefer ha-Torah mipicha v'gisi bo yoyim v'layla. When are you allowed to learn Chochma Chitzonis? I don't remember which Gemara it is. One of the Amoraim asked the Rebbe, when can I learn Chochma? When can I go learn the Chochma Yavan? So he said, it says in the Torah, V'gisoy boy yoimam v'layla. Find for me a time of the day that's not yoim and that's not layla, and that's the time you can learn. Other Chochmas. So we don't even want there to be 1 second that will pass without limud haTorah. So what do we do? They're very clever. We first make the bracha on the new Torah. Baruch Ato Hashem, Okeinu Melech Hamasher, Kedushon B'mitzvos La'asoyg B'divrei Torah. And we pray, V'haref No Hashem Elokeinu Sivrei Soros B'finu. And then here's the irony. Look at this, the irony. And then we make the bracha acharoina from yesterday. But what's so ironic is, what bracha do we use to make the bracha acharoina from yesterday? The bracha rishoina that when we lay in from the Torah. When you get an aliyah, you make two blessings. Asher bochar banu. That's the ersh bracha. And when you finish with asher nosan lanu. So now, what I'm saying is correct, that when you wake up in the morning, you have to make two blessings. One blessing for today's learning. And I have to make a bracha acharoina for yesterday's learning. And yesterday comes to an end after I wake up in the morning. Because when you go to sleep, even that's even a scientific fact. What's the purpose of sleep? It's like a...
End of
it. It puts everything in its place. The librarian comes in. Right, or the what are they called? They call the packers. Is that a Yiddish word or an English word? The people who come and put away the sefarim. I never knew that word until recently. People who put away sefarim, they call them packers. A packer. Someone who puts away, they hire a person to come in 2 o'clock in the morning to the base medrash and to put away the sefarim, all the lazy people who were too lazy to put back, you probably know all about this, Yankee. People are too lazy to put back their siddur and the chumash and all the other stuff. They take it all the way. They climb the ladder all the way over there. They don't care. They leave it on the table. They leave it on the table. Excuse me. Who do you think is going to go get on the ladder? You took it out. Go put it back. Oh. What's the word?
Packers.
It's a Yiddish word. Yes. So that's what you do when you go to sleep. When you go to sleep, when the day is over, all of your knowledge is laid out all over the table. Kaviyach. And when you go to sleep, this is a secular concept. It's not a Yiddish God. When you go to sleep, the mind subconsciously takes all the information that you've accumulated during the day and puts it in the right place. And that's why it's so critical to get a good night's sleep. People don't realize this. If you don't get a good night's sleep, according to some scientist, you know what happens?
You can't function.
10 years ago, you're not going to remember what happened today. It's not a question. Like people think, what do people say? The reason why I need to get a good night's sleep tonight is that tomorrow I should be functional. If I'm not going to get a good night's sleep tonight, hear me out, if I'm not going to get a good night's sleep tonight, then tomorrow I'm going to be drowsy. I'm not going to be able to function top of my game. No, that's not the issue. The main issue is, if you don't get a good night's sleep tonight, then your mind does not have the opportunity to put everything in the right place. It's the past. So 10 years from now, 20 years from now, when you are going to want to recall a piece of information, you're not going to remember. You know why you're not going to remember? Because on the day when this event happened, you did not get that night a good night's sleep. Because if you would have gotten a good night's sleep, then the little guy in your head would have been able to take that information and what's it called, categorize it, arrange it, and put a label on it, and organize it, and put it in its right place, so you'll be able to recall it when you need to know it at the right time. But you didn't get a good night's sleep. It's the past. The goal of getting is the past. So,
I read about it. They compare it like in the computer data storage.
Exactly. You have to defrag.
Change. If you don't reorganize the data.
Right. To defrag your drive.
Too many pointers. One pointer is missing.
Right. There used to be this thing called to defrag drive. Today I don't know the technology anymore. But when I took the courses, so it was it's always erasing and writing. It's a big nightmare, big mess. So every once in a while you have to be remisader all the information on the drive to optimize the space on the drive called defrag. Today there's a lot of new technology. Okay, the logic of the Nalasa, I don't know. It could be very well be. You don't really hear about it. You don't really hear about the need. I don't know. I really don't know. Okay, but in any event, so we make two blessings. One, at night you can't make a bracha yet. So we said that you say this. A person needs to make two blessings on learning. When you wake up in the morning, you make a bracha rishayna. And when you go to sleep, you should really be making a bracha acharayna. But it's the day over, it's not over yet. Because when you go to sleep, when you're sleeping, you're still learning. You're organizing, you're chazering what you learned during the day. So when is the next time you can make the bracha? In the morning, when you wake up. So you would expect the first thing you should do in the morning is make the bracha acharayna. No, because you're going to make the bracha acharayna, then you're going to be a moment in time where you're not, where you're in no man's land. Where I made the bracha acharayna, and now, wait a minute, I'm not allowed to learn. I can't learn now because you're not allowed to learn until you make a bracha. It's like a birchas hanenin. You're not allowed to learn Torah until you make a bracha rishayna. Do you want to be in a matziv where you're not allowed to learn even for one split second? So the ideal thing we're to do is to make the bracha rishayna for the following day first. So now you're allowed to learn, but while you're still allowed to learn, you're still carrying over from yesterday. And then you make the bracha acharayna. So there's an overlap. And that overlap is a maila because the gisa by yoimam v'layla. There should not be even one moment of time where there's a void, where you're in a no man's land where you can't learn. But now, what's the irony? So if you're going to make now the second blessing is going to be the baracha acharoina for yesterday's learning. So if it was me and you, so if we had to select a blessing to the baracha acharoina, what would you select? I would select Asher Nosan Lanu Toiras Emes V'Chayelam Natavschein Baruch Hashem Nosan Torah. And yet, what did Chazal say? Chazal said the bracha to select is Asher Bochar Banu Mikol Ho'amin. So, what does that tell you? So, you can say whatever you want to say. Maybe we got it all wrong. I'm saying now a wild drush. I'm about to tell you now. Maybe when you get an Aliyah. They call up a mayor, it's an aliyah. He had a granddaughter, Mazel Tov. You get a Zayde, gets an aliyah. You get an aliyah. When they give you the bracha, that's the bracha acharoina. Acharoina from the last time you got an aliyah.
It could be a year ago.
Whenever it was. Let's say, whenever you got an aliyah, let's say a year ago. That, when you, think about it, it's very ironic. You get an aliyah, right? You get, give me an aliyah, very nice, thank you very much. Asher bochar banu, now you lane. And then when you finish laning, asher nosan lanu, done, goodbye, off to the races. Yeah? That's what you do, off to the races? Pumfa karat. It's not the end, it's just the beginning. When they close that, you close that Sefer Torah, get to work. They give you an aliyah, there's a message there for you. Get to work. Maybe asher nosan lanu toiras emes. V'chayei oylam nota b'socheinu. Look at that nusach. A life of eternity. Life. They don't say such a nusach in the asher bochar banu. The brocha acharoina of a kriyas ha-toyah when you get an aliyah is really the brocha rishoina. Why? Because when you finish the kriya for your aliyah, now your avodah first begins. So when am I going to make a baracha acharoina on that? The next time you get an aliyah, you'll make your bracha. The first thing you'll do is you'll make your baracha acharoina before you hear the new. Oh, you'll say, but there's no overlap. We're not worried about it because there's a private. The overlap issue is not an issue because you have the pride that you're allowed to learn Torah because in the morning you made Asher Kiddushan b'mitzvah v'itzvah l'asak b'divrei Sarah. So there we don't, on a personal level, we don't want there to be any moment in time. But when you call to the Torah, we want you to put aside the past. And we want to start fresh. A new fresh beginning. And when you finish, I hear that those words of Torah, it should now inspire you now. I got to get to work. I have to take this lesson. One of the Amoraim, he said that when he went to Eretz Yisrael to learn by a new rabbi, he fasted. I don't remember the Gemara. Enormous amount of fast days in order to forget
The Derech HaLimud by the old Rebbe. Why? Because when you go to a new Rebbe, it's got to be fresh. Got to be fresh. You get an Aliyah today. Put away all of your baggage from your last Aliyah.
Didn't he
forget Talmud
Bavli? What? He forget Talmud Bavli.
Whatever it was. Whatever. I don't know Talmud Bavli. Whatever, you wanted to forget the Derech HaLimud. When you get an Aliyah, the first thing you got to do is you got to put away all your baggage. Now we're starting fresh. Come
By
to
the
Torah.
Who made that bracha?
Anshei Knesset Hagadola.
And what happened before Anshei Knesset Hagadola? But somebody had
It's not
an
so
aliyah.
Clear. I don't know the answer. They said something very similar, if not exactly this. I don't know the problem. I really don't. I don't know the detail. Chazal said, why was the Bayis Rishon destroyed? They didn't make a brachas altogether. But it means they had brachas. They just didn't make it. Now that was way before the Anshei Knesset Hagadola. Okay, there are a lot of questions. Exactly, one. I'm not familiar with all the details, all the product. All right, so this is a lot of Yisoidos. Let's review. We love. I want to tell you a little bit about very quickly about Anisa. But let's review the Yisoidos we learned over here. Is we say, yeah, is it three brachas or two brachas? If it's two brachas, it could very well be the first brachas, the bracha acharoina, the first bracha, the bracha rishoina, and then we have the bracha acharoina. How could the acharoina be asher bracha banu? But nali, it's this first bracha. Einochinami. When you get an aliyah, the first bracha you're making is, I've got an aliyah 6 months ago, there was a message, I was an Oyvin Hashem, and now it's time for something new, let's put that away, and let's now start fresh. What do you want to tell me? After telling me what you want to tell me, now I'm going to make a bracha to go forward, I'm going to make it to go forward.
To the next one.
To Asher Chaye Oilam Not Abesachenu. I have a new message. With this message, I'm now going to go forward into the week. See, I always wonder. I think it's just the thing going. People today go to the mikveh Erev Shabbos. Today, especially in Flatbush, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's a very and it makes a difference. Okay, whether you sense kedusha, not kedusha, there's something to it. One thing always bothered me. I really firmly believe it would be a much, much bigger inyan. There should be long lines to go to mikveh mitzvah Shabbos in preparation for the week than go to mikveh Erev Shabbos. What averus are you going to do on Shabbos already? You know, fight with your wife? What already are you going to do on Shabbos? What averus are you going to do on Shabbos? When Shabbos is over, it's off to the races. It should be that mitzvah Shabbos, you go, everyone lines up. You know, the week is ahead of us. A lot of the sionis, a lot of issues out there. We have to prepare ourselves to go into Shabbos. When you take leave of something, that's where the battle begins. Okay, no one does it. You don't see anyone lining up to go to mikveh mitzvah Shabbos. The Kohen Gadol, when he came out of the Kodesh HaKodashim, what did he do? He went to mikveh. Before he went in, he went to mikveh. And when he came out, he went to the mikveh. Why? Because now they've gone to the Kodesh HaKodashim, I'm a different person. When I go out now, you know, there's a new avoida in front of me. Okay, the other thing we learned is, why does it over here, why do we say Yivarechacha? Why do we say Yivarechacha? We say Yivarechacha because it's Torah is to give. Don't be a taker. And the third idea was Atem Tiyuli Mamleches Kaidan Goy Kodesh. Okay, almost as I will just tell you Rashi Prakim Al Hanisim. Okay, there are a lot of things, unfortunately. I have a lot of things to say on Al Hanisim, but it looks like I'm out of time. But let me just tell you some Rashi Prakim. Do you say Vi Al Hanisim or do you say Al Hanisim? It's a big, big Shiloh Nusach Ashkenaz Nusach Sag. You look in the earlier sources. Is it Al Vi Al? So I just want to leave you with some, with Rashi Prakim for the thinking about Purim. Whoever said that it's always the same? We say Al Hanisim on Chanukah, and we say Al Hanisim on Purim. We say Al Hanisim in Birkas HaMazon, and we say Al Hanisim in Shmona Esrei. Is it correct that it's one size fits all? There are contradictions in the Chazal, in the earlier sources amongst the Paiskim. Should you say V'al Hanisim or should you say Al Hanisim? And there are indications which go both ways, and it's a very big dilemma. And the Mishnah Berurah says you should say Al Hanisim is a big dilemma. Perhaps, this is Drush, not Lahalach, everyone Gesundheit, you follow the one Mahalach through and through, but Chanukah and Purim are very different Yom Tov. Chanukah was what we're focusing on in the Va'al Hanisim is the Milchama, is the Milchama, and also what is one of the major differences between the Al Hanisim of Chanukah and Purim? The major difference is the Al Kain. Okay, let me wrap up very quickly. The Al Hanisim, we have a very long Al Hanisim for Chanukah, and a very short one for Purim. Why? Well, one of the reasons is because in the Nusach for Chanukah, it says the Achar Kain Bohu Vonech L'Dvir Besach. It led to something. The miracle resulted in action. In Mordechai, it didn't lead to nothing. We just described the miracle. There is no the Achar Kain. Now, what is Al Hanisim connected to? It's connected to praise. Ki me'olam kivinu lach. Does the praise that we recite in modem lead to anything? Nothing. Thus, when you come to Purim, you should say Ve'al Hanisim. Because Purim is a continuation. When you come to Chanukah, it's a whole different league. It's Al Hanisim. You cannot be mechaber the nes of Chanukah to the modem, because in modem, we thank you, Hashem, and now we ask, and now what? You recognize Hashem's chesed and nisim, and now what? Nothing. Zero. Thank you, Hashem. Have a nice day. I'm off to the races. Chanukah, thank you, Hashem, Al Kain. It led to something. Oh, that's not the same as what it says in the book. Mili, you can't just say Al Hanisim. You have to say Vi'al Hanisim. You can't say Vi'al. You have to say Al. But Purim is the same theme. It's just a statement of fact of Haidatz and Mimela. There you can say that. Okay. Then you can go to another chiluk between benching and Shmoyne Esrei. Why in one you should say Vi'al, why in one you should not. You think about it, the difference between the two. Okay, have a wonderful Purim, Simchas Purim, a Filoch Purim. La Yehudim Oysa Oyre, V'Simcha V'Sasad, V'Yikar Kein T'Yalon.